In April of 2000, Brother Ron Halbrook tried to convince me to go to the Philippine Islands. For one reason or another, I told him that I would not, didn't think I wanted to go. Then instead, in that year, I went to Lithuania with Brother Randy Blackaby. But the following year, or the year 2002, I made a commitment in 2001 to go to the Philippine Islands for my first trip. I have made four other trips since that time, and I want to discuss with you tonight the fifth trip that I took in April and May of this year. I want to begin, first of all, by telling you that I could not make such trips as these trips without the support of the elders here, without the support of you good brethren who allow me to be gone and don't get on their back too much when I'm gone for such an extended period of time, and your prayers for my work and your interest in that work. Every time that I go, you give me sufficient funds of your own to buy Bibles that are so greatly appreciated by the Filipino people. And I want you to know that I believe that that work and the efforts that are put forth there are something that brings glory and honor to God. And I am thankful for what little part that I have in having the opportunity to go. I wish that many of you could go with me and you could see the things that are being done there and see how God's word is accepted and received in that part of the country. So I want to talk to you tonight about my trip. First of all, it was my longest trip, 3 days shy than 6 weeks. I have determined I will never ever go for that longer period of time again. It's too long, the weather is too dreadful, and the pace is just overwhelming, and by the time that you're in about the third or fourth week, you're just drained. And so I think better things can be done by making trips much shorter. In Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, prophet Isaiah made this prophecy. He said, "Indeed," he says, "it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." It was God's plan from the before eternity began that the gospel go to all the world. You know the commission very well. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, God told the apostles to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is because every soul is valuable. Every soul in the world is valuable to God, and God wants every soul to have the opportunity to hear the message of truth. And so now the apostles, they're gone. They've done their work, and now it is incumbent upon us to do our work and use our abilities and opportunities to take the gospel to the lost. God sent the gospel light to the Philippines. Me and Brother Halbrook went there. We each taught about 92 times over the 5.5 week period. Most of the classes that we had were for gospel preachers. There were 23 baptisms while we were there. We found that to be rather remarkable considering that the majority of our time was spent with preachers and with Christians in other places of newly established works. The first place that we go on every trip is Manila. That is the stopping point. That is where we fly into, and that is where we begin. The Caibayan congregation is where Ben Cruz preaches. He's been preaching the gospel in the Philippines for 50 years. And he is one of the most respected men in the Philippines and knows much about the work and the history of the Filipino work. This is his place. The lady at the top with the young man is one of his daughters. She is our doctor. She's a doctor in the Philippines. She takes care of us, our medical needs, while we're in the Philippines. Wherever we might be, we have her cell number, and we've called her on a number of occasions when we become ill for one thing or another, and she prescribed some medicine, and luckily we've been very lucky and not had anything severe. We are at the congregation where Ben preaches. If you notice, Brother Cruz has a walker there, much like Brother Sellers, but he has his because he had a stroke last year. We almost lost him. The doctors did not expect him to live. He made a very good recovery. He's not able to have the stamina that he once had, but he still preaches three times on the Lord's Day. This is the church, and the reason I'm showing you this picture, this is what the upstairs looked like when I was there in December of last year. What they do is that American Brethren send them money, and then they do all the work themselves in order to save the labor cost. The congregation in Manila built a new building 2 years ago, and they kind of went as they got money. And so when I was there in December, that's what the upstairs looked like, where they were going to put in classes. This is what it looks like today. They finished the work in April of this year. They have classes up there in the church in Manila. They have Bible studies in their buildings every night. Every night there is a Bible study. Every night they have studies with their members and with people that their members bring. And so they are very zealous in trying to spread the gospel. This is Brother Ron preaching at Brother Cruz's place, and he preaches the lesson, Putting the Past in the Past. And during these lessons, usually they're on the weekends, we have people that come, and then we have a question and answer period after every lesson. I'm doing a lesson here on the Gospel of John. And as you can see, only last year we started using PowerPoint. There was a brother in the Alabama who bought the projector. He also bought the laptop, and we leave it over there, and we use it strictly in the work in the Philippines. Many of the places that we rent to do lectures have conference rooms, and so they have electricity, and we're able to be able to use the PowerPoint. Next, we spent 2 weeks in Tigaragua City, Tigigaraw, in the Cagayan province. This is where Brother Rody Gumpad preaches and labors. He has one of the largest churches in the Philippines. And we were there in the school, the preacher training program that began in 2003. This is the time that we take 24 to 25 men. We have them for 1 month. And we have them, and we study lessons with them, and we begin at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we go to 10 o'clock every night. And we do that 6 days a week. And then on Sundays, we spread out and go to the churches in the area. In Tigigaraw, there are over 30 churches within a 25-mile radius. And if you go a little further, about 75 miles, there are about 45 churches. And so all the student preachers go out and preach somewhere on the Sundays, and one of us go with them. This is the material that every student receives. All of the material you see there is paid for by American Brethren. There are $150 worth of books. Every student gets a new Bible, gets a concordance, gets a Bible dictionary, and gets some books on very basic commentaries on books like John, some on the Fourfold Gospel by McGarvey, and all of these are given to every student. And he can only keep the books if he finishes the classes. He has to finish, he has to start, he has to end. And all of this is supplied by American Brethren. Last year, this particular 4-week class period cost around $8,000. Now, the reason the cost is so high is not only do they get the books and things, they house them and they feed them for 30 days. Brother Rody's wife, Tessie, and some of the ladies from the congregation where he labors, they take care of the food. A few years ago when Brother Rody was here, some of you ladies put your money together and you bought a stove. You cannot believe how appreciative they are of that stove when they have to make meals for 30 people every day, three times a day. And so it's not only hard upon the students, it's also hard on the ladies. This is when I looked at this habit there because I just got off an airplane. We just got in and we gave about a 10-minute speech encouraging the new students. This is Brother Ron on that same day. Now, if you notice, in the top is the places where we teach our classes. Here is the barracks that they live in. By the way, the barracks that they live in was donated by some people down south. They sent money that Brother Rohde was able to build a building, put 24 bunk beds in it, and then another brother in Alabama sent money for 3 air conditioners to put in that barrack so they could study at night. In 2003, we had no air conditioning, no fans, and one of the students almost died of heat stroke. And so through the providence and through the goodwill offerings of some brethren, they were able to alleviate that problem by putting air conditioners in. What you see there is they're getting ready to eat. If you notice, some are sitting and some are standing. The ones that are sitting are the ones that have already said a memory verse. Before they eat at every meal, they have to say a memory verse. No memory verse, no meal. That's kind of a motivation. By the end of the month, they have memorized 90 different verses. By the end of the month. And they can't use Jesus wept. That's one they can't use. On the right, every night after classes, 3 of the students participate in a mock service. One leads singing, one does the prayer, and one does the preaching. And the one who does the preaching, they are critiqued by myself and Brother Ron and by Brother Rohde. And so every night after class, there is a service. After the service, then we have time with the Bible dictionary and the Bible concordance to show them how to use it so it can be effective in their study. This is preaching on Sunday. This is preaching on Sunday in different places where we go out to preach in different localities. These are 3 men that were baptized during the Bible teaching program. They sit in on the classes. First week after they sat in, 3 men, the 3 on the very right, on the far right, they were baptized into Christ before class began. I think it was on a Monday. This is a picture of the entire class. Me and Brother Halbrook do the first 2 weeks. After we left, Brother Harry Osborne from Oklahoma City and 2 Filipino preachers, Jonathan Carreño and Lourdes Sanguin, they come in and they do the last 2 weeks. And so we get the beginning and other people do the last 2 weeks. But by the end of that study, they have gone through 10 hours a day of different Bible topics. This is the barracks on the top. On the bottom is the where they eat at. Sometimes we go in to help students who are having problems with different subjects, and we go in to give them some one-on-one in the evening if they need it. Next, we went back to Manila. And there we spoke on at the Commission Fellowship. This is a fellowship made up of retired Filipinos from the Pentecostal and the Baptist Church. We got an invite in there to speak to them on their Sunday afternoon meeting. And so we gave a lesson. Brother Ron gave a lesson at this place on baptism. There were 5 Baptist preachers at this community fellowship. They were very testy in the question and answer period. But we got one of them to agree to further studies with the Filipino preachers after we left. This is again preaching on Sunday. The first one at the top is a church that meets in the home of the preacher, and that's where they're meeting at. The last one is one that I'm doing. It's in an upstairs apartment of another member, and that's we go out on Sundays. Ron goes to 2 or 3 places, and I go to 2 or 3 places, and then we meet back at the end of Sunday evening. Next, we went to Don Felipe Hotel in Old Mark City, and we had a 2-day preacher seminar. And these mainly are preachers who are gathered here for this 2-day seminar. Then we went to Iloilo City in Pana. These are 3 newly formed churches. We went, first of all, to the New Love Baptist Mission. We had an invite to come and speak to them. Then we went to the Ravina Christian Church. And this is a place that there are preachers that are scattered within a 30 or 40 mile radius, and they're in badly need of a 5-day preacher class, And I talked to Brother Ron the other day, and that's one of the things that's on their agenda in August, to go back to Elo City and to do a five-day preacher study. This is the all-night ferry that we had to take in order to get to Elo City. These are the luxurious accommodations that me and Ron stayed in. Now, this is the New Mission Baptist Church. When we were done at this particular, we did four lessons at this Mission Baptist Church. At the end of our study, they gave me around a plaque thanking us for coming in and studying and teaching them the Word of God. First time I've ever got a plaque from a religious denomination. The thing that was interesting about this particular place, there was a young Baptist preacher there, and his conscience was bothering him. He began to understand and put together that what he was teaching in the Baptist religion was not the truth. He began to see the errors on baptism and on eternal security. And he was greatly struggling. And me and Ron talked to him for about 2 hours after our study, and his problem was he was being supported by two American Baptist churches, and that was sustaining his family. But he knew if he gave up the Baptist faith, he would lose that support. And so he was struggling what to do, whether or not to do what he knew to be right and to go over to the truth, or to remain in what he knew to be error in order that he could help support his family. And when we left, he was still struggling. Of course, we cannot promise them that if they give up that support, we can find someone to replace it. We don't make promises like that. That is a struggle with his conscience that he is going to have to answer. But you know what? It's not like a struggle that we have. When you give money back in the Philippines, that's a serious matter. That's the way that they live. And we're not talking about a lot of money. In this case, we're talking about $150 a month. But that's what he lived on. And so I'm not trying to make excuses. He's got to come up on the right end of this. But he's got to do it. And he's got to do it for the right reason. And so we have people, and this is one of the places that Ron is going back to in August to try. We hope to meet with that young man and see how he's doing. This is a pump boat that we take between the islands. This is the banner that they had out at the Christian church when we went to do the seminar. This is their building. It's a dirt floor, has plastic chairs. It had one fan, and it was open-ended windows. And if you notice out the door where the young woman and the child is, later on during the day, that outside section filled up. And people came in and listened to our lectures. And we did lectures there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. I'm here preaching on how to rightly divide the Word of God. This was one of the places we had to use a translator. This was a very small island, and these people were not very proficient in English. That doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen sometimes. Brother Jacko there on the right, he is a gospel preacher in the Philippines, and he accompanied us on this trip, and he is my translator for this series of lessons. This church is where Brother Carpintero used to preach. Brother Carpintero is the man that we helped support in the Philippines up until the time of his death in December of 2005. We made a stop on the way to the next place to see his son, to see how he was doing. This is the congregation where Brother Carpintero preached. And this is the congregation. This was on a Saturday afternoon. We stopped to see them. After we went there, we went to Pantagon City. And this Sunday, me and Ron spread out. He went to three or four different places, and I stayed in the place where we were starting an afternoon lecture that would go on Sunday and on Monday. Ramon Carreño is the preacher at Pantagon City. He is 83 years old. He has been preaching the gospel in the Philippines since the 1970s. He was converted by Cecil Willis. And he is very, very much a kind of man that you could not walk away and not be uplifted by meeting Brother Carreño. Brother Carreño has a son. His name is Jonathan. He is one that goes with us on most of our trips. He is not only a good translator, his son does all the scheduling and setting up the venues, the hotels, the transportation. His son does all of that. Before he started teaching the gospel, Brother Carreño was in business, and he made a very good living at it. And twice a year he went abroad. This company would send him abroad in order to get further training. He gave that job up in order to preach the gospel. And he's a very effective gospel preacher. They're real big on banners. Everywhere you go, they got a banner. One, you know, they're happy that you're there. This is inside the building at Pentagon City. We're singing before the lecture. This is me teaching on Sunday afternoon on the character of Satan. There were 120 people in attendance. Probably 60% of them were gospel preachers. Then we went to Cebu City. Cebu City is the second largest city in the Philippines. Over 2 million people live here. This is where Brother Jonathan Carreño and June Aparte, one of the preachers that was with us, this is their home. And we had a two-day lecture where over 100 denominational preachers signed up to attend. And you have just got to know how uplifting and exhilarating it is to speak to 100 denominational preachers at one time. Seven-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses. We had a couple Mormon elders. We had some Baptist preachers. We had Alliance there. And we had some Charismatics there. This is a hotel. The theme of the lecture was, what does the Bible say? This is Brother Ron speaking on Monday morning. This is me speaking in the afternoon. This is us leading, having singing before the lecture began. This is the audience that we had. The young man that you see in the white in the center is a Christian preacher. After two-day lecture, he came forward during the invitation, and he accepted the gospel, and he was baptized into Christ. He has a congregation in the Philippines in Cebu City, and one of the first things he was going to do is go and teach them the truth concerning baptism. And Brother Fred, he's in the blue shirt. He's a gospel preacher that accompanied us. Brother Roy, there on the left, he also is a gospel preacher. They took his confession and they later went out and baptized him in some water that was close to where we were meeting. This is a young lady that came forward at the last day and asked to be restored, that had been falling away from the church for a period of 20 years. Brother Aparte, the one that's standing behind the man in the blue, he is one of them young. He is one of the preachers that accompanied us. This is probably the first time in all the trips that I've been with Brother Halbrook that he had to call someone down. There was a seven-day Advent lady there. She was about 70. She fired off one question after another to Ron. While Ron was trying to get the answer to one, she was firing off the other one and wasn't reading the passage that he was giving her. And finally, it got to be where she was getting so loud, Ron finally said, "Ma'am, you're going to have to be quiet, and you're going to have to listen to my answer, and then we'll go to the next question." After that was over, I went to Ron, I said, "You know, I was really worried that you were going." He said, "You know, I came within this much of telling her to sit down and be quiet." That is the only time I've ever seen that a person was disrespectful in a question and answer period in all the years that I've been going there. This is one of the lessons that they asked for, premillennialism. The question and answer period dealt with the rapture and with the thousand-year reign upon the earth. There were many Pentecostals in the audience. That was a very lively question and answer session. This is the books that we give away at the end. And we give them away, and there's not a book on the table left when we're gone. When we leave, every book has been taken. Now, Saturday afternoon, we went to a retirement policeman at a Christian church. This is their music that they were playing. When we went in there, there was a three-member quartet that wanted to sing for me and Ron. You know, said, no, thank you. We don't want you to do that. And, of course, then Ron spoke about instrumental music. So that was a very interesting time. These are some of the audience. The question and answer period here. Send it in on instrumental music. And I did my lesson on salvation by blood, showing that baptism and blood are tied together. And there were some Baptist preachers there. And so we got into quite a discussion about the essential quality of baptism. Here I am preaching on baptism. Next, we went to a place called the Batanti Islands. This is a newly formed work. This is what we might call an oasis, for lack of a better term. And it's about a 2-hour plane trip in a very rickety plane to get to the Batanis Islands. It is a very beautiful place. It is a place that a lot of people go to get away from things. And there are 3 young preachers who are working there, and at the time that we were there, did not have any financial support. Had absolutely none. And moved there in February to teach the gospel. Rhody and Tessie Gumpad accompanied us on this trip. This is a new work. Since we have left there, we have found 2 congregations that are beginning to send money to help these young men. One of the young men is married and has a child. And so we were able to set up support for him first. This is a home Bible study that we had. This is in the home of a lady that one of the 3 men got us into, and we had a 2-hour home Bible study. We usually do a lesson, and then we allow them to ask any questions that they have, and sometimes those questions take us on various directions, and then there are follow-up studies done after we leave. This is preaching to the young people at a youth camp. It's the first time I preached under the stars in the Philippines. This was at night about 7:30, and we had about 40 of them for about 2 hours at night. This is a jeepney. Everybody should experience a ride in a jeepney. This is our jeepney that stopped. And we had to get it out of the way to get into another jeepney. So we pushed it out of the way. This is a Bible study that we had on a roadside shelter. The man that we're studying with in the center is a commissioner in the government there at Batanis Island. And we were able to have an hour and a half study with him before he had a meeting in the morning. Before we left, he agreed to further studies with one of the gospel preachers that are working in that area. We went to a Christian church. And this is the organ that was in the church when we got there. Before we left, they moved it out. One of the things that we did, the young man that you see in this picture is one of the 3 men that work in Batanis Islands. He had been worshiping with this group in order to get inroads in order that he might be able to teach them. But their hang-up was that organ. And so there was a lady there who was playing that organ, and she kind of just took it upon herself because she could play it, that she would play it every Sunday, and they didn't have the heart to tell her not to play it. And so what we did is we asked for a meeting and a time that we could talk to the congregation. And we got it the next afternoon. And so what we did is Brother Ron, and then followed by me, we did a lesson solely based on why instrumental music is not according to the truth. After we left this place, Brother Ando, who is the young man I was telling you about, he went back there. At the next Sunday after we left, they had a meeting after the service, and unanimously it was decided to remove the organ from the service and not to use it any longer. And so now they are trying to get those people to come all the way to the truth. And so this is opportunities that you have in the Philippines. This is a mode of transportation. You walk. Everywhere you go, you walk. And that water, that's the most valuable thing that you have in the Philippines. This is where the brethren are meeting. It's an upstairs rented room. No fan, no air conditioning. By the time me and Brother Ron were done on Tuesday night, we were soaked. But you know what? We had 40 people in there for 3.5 hours. And nobody left. This is a Bible study with office workers. We got a study when they were on their break. They get an hour break in the afternoon. And the man who is the head of this company made all of his employees come to the Bible study. And so we had them for an hour. So we taught them. By the way, because of this Bible study, we got 3 follow-up visits with the people who attended the Bible study. This is speaking at night. This was an interesting thing. One of the people that tried to get this canceled was a Catholic priest who is the one that works at this particular school for the young people. He tried to get this canceled, and he couldn't get it canceled, so what he did while we were speaking, he walked around the perimeter, and you could see him talking to different people, I'm sure trying to dissuade them from listening to us, but it wasn't working. By the time we were done, we had a bigger crowd than when we began. And by the way, that fellow that was trying to dissuade, he ended up hearing the whole thing. And so, that was a very interesting... this is a Bible study with a high school principal in her home. We had this on the next to last day before we left. This is me preaching in Manigeti. And the reason I put this particular slide in, when I first went to this place 5 years ago, they had no roof, they had no floor, it was just an open-ended thing. And they have done that by... Now, American Brethren didn't help them. They just did little by little by little to where they put a roof over their head and they poured a pad, and that's where they meet on Sunday morning. The Lord's Supper. They do the Lord's Supper very much different than we do. When they take the Lord's Supper, they offer thanks for the bread and for the fruit of the vine, and they take it out together. They give you the bread first and then the fruit of the vine. When they take up the collection, they sing. They stand and sing as they pass the collection tray around. This is a baptism in the ocean following a Sunday service in Oramark City. 2 young ladies were baptized, and me and Brother Ron bought them Bibles. They never saw a Bible. And so we bought them a Bible, and they were baptized after the service. This is singing before the preacher's seminar. I was changing some charts, and these 2 little girls, they came up to me and they were upset I didn't have any video games on my laptop. So children are the same everywhere. There's a Sunday morning worship in a church that meets in the preacher's home. The man here on the left in the white shirt, his name is Lordy Sanguin. He has the only known paper among conservative brethren in the Philippines. He prints it once a month. It's called the Spiritual Sword. And it's a very, very good paper. And he has printed that for a number of years. He preaches in a place called Angeles City. Angeles City is where Subic Bay used to be. Clark Air Force Base. It's very Americanized. It has the best food in all of the Philippines in Angeles City because they cater to Americans. This is the sun setting as we drive to the hotel following the last lecture in Manila. Preaching in the Philippines, it's just hard to explain to you. We have opportunities that we unfortunately do not get here. We have opportunities when we have 3 invitations at the end of our lessons. One to come back to a Pentecostal church. Another to preach a Sunday morning church service in a Baptist church. And this was by a man who took great issue with our position on baptism, on grace, and then invited us to come on the next Sunday. We were back in his area and preached to his congregation. We also had the opportunity while we were there to have a 3-hour study with a Hindu, a Hindu Methodist preacher. He was probably the most educated preacher I have ever talked to. He had so much knowledge in history and theology. And we sat in a hotel venue for 3.5 hours, and he agreed with everything we said, except he could not understand how we did not believe that the Holy Spirit directed us in some miraculous way. He just could not believe that we believed in the Bible, and we were so attuned to what the Bible said that we had the Holy Spirit so wrong. But he was willing to listen. And we studied with him, and he's agreed to follow up studies. And again, those are the kind of opportunities that you don't get here. To be able to sit down with a denominational preacher and be able to reason with the Bible, to show why we disagree with what you practice, what you teach, that is something that you don't see here. But that is something that we preach in more denominational buildings and in front of more denominational preachers this trip than any previous trip. Ron said that this was a trip that he spoke more times to non-Christians that are in denominational churches that are preaching and being in their buildings. We were in 5 different denominational buildings giving lessons on things that they don't agree with. And what it does is open doors to convert. By conservative estimates, if the rate of conversion in the Philippines continues at the present rate, in 5 years, there will be more Christians in the Philippines than there is in our country. Our country has close to 300 million. The Philippines has 20. You do the math. Why is it so different? One reason. Poverty. Poverty changes your perspective. It gives you a different viewpoint of spiritual things. The Filipino people understand that their personal position is not going to get any better. They raise their children to move them out of their country. They move them to educate them and get them out of the Philippines. Because there's no hope for them there. There's no future for them there. I find that sad in and of itself. I couldn't imagine raising my children, educating them to get them as far away from me as they could get. But that's what they do in the Philippines. Because that's where their hope is. And so I want to thank you again for your willingness to help me make trips like this. I could not make trips like this if it were not for your love and your concern and your willingness to send me. We want to not close this service without offering an opportunity to any here who might need to make their life right with God by rendering obedience to the gospel or by making your life right. If you've not done things that are right in the sight of God, you need to have God forgive us. We'll pray with you and for you that God will forgive you. We can help you in any way. We bid you to come forward as together we stand.